You may be seated.
This is the one Sunday of the year when I preach and then depart to go serve at Angelo's restaurant with my Rotary Club as we do our spaghetti fundraiser. And after my faux pas just a few moments ago, I'm glad I'm clearing out early, so you can't ridicule me. Although little Hope Koffler yesterday, as we played on the playground, said, "Mr. J, why do you have so much gray hair?" And now she knows you do things like that. The ancient Greek story of Achilles, a great warrior, features his mom, who is told that one day he will die of a fatal wound. To prevent that from happening, she dips her infant into the Styx River to protect his body, but as she does so, she's holding him by his heel, and sure enough, years later, the fatal wound that would end Achilles' life was in his heel. I found this cartoon, thought some of you might like. I don't know if you can read it. "You got a dog? Yep. His name is Achilles. Achilles' heel. Seriously? He didn't even do it. Yes, it's his weakness. What's yours? What's your weakness? What's your Achilles' heel? What area of your life does Satan exploit over and over and over again?" In that ancient hymn, "Soldiers of Christ Arise," we sing the words, "Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole." Is there an unguarded place in your life you refuse to invite the Holy Spirit to pour protection and sanctification into? Well, if there is, there's a tool for that. As we continue to explore Ephesians chapter 6, we've added two tools to our tool belt from that passage. One is truth. The second is righteousness. Hear this word from God in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, as we look at the third and then later fourth tool. It says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Like Achilles' heel, it's easy to forget about our feet. The Roman soldier, however, could not afford to forget about his feet, and so he had a particular piece of armor that he would put on his feet. After all, if you can't walk, you can't really fight, and so the feet are extremely important, as they are to us today. We may not always recognize the importance of our feet until we have an ingrown toenail or a bruised heel or something I experienced several years ago called plantar's fasciitis. Oh, talk about pain that would just take over your entire body. Last year, my wife complained of foot pain. She went to the doctor. She came on that night and told me what the doctor's main recommendation was. She said, "The doctor said I need to buy several new pairs of shoes." I was like, "Is this a female doctor that you saw? Yeah, this something fishy is going on here." But not really, because shoes, the proper shoes, are fundamental to the protection of our feet. And so the armor of God includes something for our spiritual feet. It's called the gospel of peace. And the idea is, as you put on God's armor every morning, you put the gospel of peace on your feet, and it makes you ready for whatever the day has in store for you. So let's understand what the gospel of peace is. The gospel of peace is the good news that through our faith in Jesus Christ and his work, we now enjoy peace with our Creator. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the opposite of peace with God is war with God. I want you to let that pour into your soul, because every individual has been at war with God. When we live in our will instead of God's will, we are actually at war with God. We are seeking to take over God's world with our own preferences. So when we gossip, when we lust, when we lie, whatever it may be outside of the will of God, we are actually declaring war with God. Now, when I was a senior in high school, before baseball season started, I lifted weights all that year because I wanted to do one thing I had never done in all of my years of playing baseball. I wanted to hit one ball over the fence to know what it would be like to trot around the bases. And so when baseball practice ensued, I was a little more muscular than I had been in previous years. I was feeling a bit full of myself, and I mouthed off at some of my buddies on the team who were bigger and stronger than me. One of them finally had enough and just pinned me to the ground where I could not move, and he literally put me in my place. Now, this is a hard message for our culture to hear today, but it's true. God is going to put every person who has declared war on him in their place. Jesus, however, brings good news by taking our place and moving us from war with God to now peace with God. And that is good, good news. So this is something we know in our heads as Christians, and we've known it for a long time, but it's also something that we need to feel and sense. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit bears testimony with our spirit that we are God's children. And it's not just something that we know in our head. This is something spirit to spirit that's taking place. This is something that we feel and sense and appreciate. 1 John, maybe thinking of this thought, said in chapter 3, verse 1, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That's what he says. That's what we are. We're not enemies of God. We're not even slaves of God. We are now, through the gospel of peace, children of God. So that's your tool, the gospel of peace. Here's how to use it. And listen, with every tool, it's going to take some effort on our part. I could put a screwdriver in my hand all day, but unless I put some effort into it, it is not going to help me one iota. The same with these spiritual tools. The gospel of peace, if you want to use this tool as Satan attacks you in your life, and you know he is and does, because we read verse 10 through 13 of Ephesians chapter 6, you need to use this tool. Now, here's some ideas on how to use it. Number one, to remember that regardless of the bad news that you may receive in any given day, there is always good news for you every day that is bigger than any bad news of one particular day. Now, let's think about some bad news we might get on a particular day. You have the flu. Oh, that's bad news. You lose your job. That's bad news. You bounced a check. That's bad news. She doesn't love you anymore. Bad news. Your goldfish died. Now, it's been dead for a week and you hadn't noticed, but you finally noticed. Your goldfish died. An earthquake rocks California. A hurricane swamps South Carolina. And then there are levels, deeper levels of bad news. Someone you love has died. Oh. Our days on earth are plagued with pieces of bad news. And yet on any given day, when the bad news seems as bad as it could possibly get, the good news of the gospel is always true, even on those awful days. For my sister's birthday, oh, easy for me to say over Christmas, she wanted to go see a movie, so we saw the movie, it was called The Darkest Hour. It was principally about Winston Churchill as Prime Minister of England at the dawn of World War II in their country. Great movie. Even my teenage daughter, who we did not expect to like it because it's mostly a talking movie, loved the movie. So Churchill as England attempts to evade, as Germany attempts to evade England and rains down bombs on the streets of London, the citizens seek cover underground for hours and hours at a time. But many nights during those terrible days, when it didn't seem like it could get any worse, you could hear Churchill's voice on the radio. And in their darkest hours, he would preach good news that if we just hold on another day, we just continue to resist this evil tyrant named Hitler. If we just persevere, the days will get better. And the citizens would hear his voice and hear his message and live out the same bad news the next day and the next day. And what I'm saying is what Churchill did for England is what the gospel does for us. In the bad days of our lives, the gospel speaks peace into our lives. Now you got to use this tool. You know it in your head, but you have to use it by recalling it and rehearsing it and putting it to work. Here's a second way you use this tool. By remembering that regardless of how appealing temptation may be to you today, the gospel will always hold greater appeal in your life. Now let's just tell the truth here, because sometimes even in church, we don't tell the truth. And the truth is, temptation is tempting. The truth is, sin is pleasurable. And that is the truth. Jesus, as he's tempted in the wilderness, is tempted in the wilderness on some very base levels that have high appeal to him at that moment in his life. Food to eat, avoiding suffering on the cross. Satan is appealing to him in his time of great challenge and temptation. But what kept Jesus going in the same direction was the joy set before him. The joy of what God was doing through him in God's world to reconcile and heal the world. And as tempting as these temptations were, the gospel had greater appeal to him in those moments of spiritual crisis. And you're going to have moments of spiritual crisis. You're going to want to do the wrong thing, and you know it's going to feel so good to do the wrong thing. But it's at that moment you use your tool. You recall the gospel of peace, the joy set before you, and you learn how to resist temptation. Saying yes to Jesus feels so much better than saying yes to temptation when you understand the gospel. Finally, number three, how we use this tool, the gospel of peace. Regardless of how we may fail on a given day, the gospel is always available to us every day. And I've got a buddy who right now is having a horrible day because he has given in to temptation and he has wrecked his life again. And what I need to tell him today is that the gospel is still true for him today as much as it was true for him yesterday and the day before. When you feel despair, when you feel like you're not good enough, when you feel like you'll always be a failure, and even after you fail, you need to know that the gospel is still true for you today. It's available if you will choose to use it and accept it by faith. So use the tool of the gospel of peace by confronting temptation in your life, bad news in your life, and failures in your life, and you will receive peace from it. Now let's look at the second tool this morning from Ephesians 6, verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Roman soldiers anticipated flaming arrows being shot in their direction. So they would wet down the leather parts of their shield so that when the arrows landed on their shields, they would be extinguished by that wet surface. They were so skilled in how they used the shields. They could hold them all up in unison in such a way that would make their unit virtually impenetrable by the attack of the enemy. We need to learn how to use our shields. And the particular kind of shield we're talking about here is the shield of faith. I mean, do you ever feel like Satan is just like, man, one after the other, shooting arrows in your direction? Like, when is enough enough? When is it going to get easier? When is it going to get better? He is just relentless. And that's why this tool is essential to your survival, the shield of faith. Now, what is faith? It is trust, belief, and obedience. My favorite definition of faith was taught to me in college. It goes like this. Having confidence enough in God, there's your trust, right? Having confidence enough in God to do what he says, there's your obedience. And it's that shield of faith that is going to protect you from Satan's assaults. Numbers chapter 13, 10 spies return back to camp, and all they have is bad news. God promised us that land, but giants live there, and giants live in fortified cities there. We will never be able to call that place home. And as news circulated around the camp, all of the Israelites began weeping and wailing. They got angry. They wanted to kill Moses and Aaron for bringing them to this place. They wanted to go back to slavery in Egypt. Two men who saw the same giants in the same fortified cities said to all of the Israelites, "We can do this." Why do they have such a different perspective towards the same circumstance? The answer is the shield of faith. They believe the promise of God more than they believe what they saw with their own two eyes, that God was bigger than anything they could think, feel, or observe. Can you see how that works in your life? How you could use this tool in your life? When your eyes are telling you one thing, where your feelings are telling you one thing, and you know God is telling you another? I mean, if we don't hold on to the promises of God, we will return back to our own proverbial Egypt over and over again, doing the same things over and over again that always produce the same things: misery and emptiness and disaster and broken relationships. And so it's at those times when we're saying, "Oh man, I just can't do this." Or when we're saying, "It's too hard." Or when we're saying, "I'm not strong enough." It's then that we need to put up the shield of faith and believe the promises of God. I'll give you two ways how you use this shield. Number one, by believing God's promises when we have reason to doubt them. That's how we use this shield. Abraham had every reason to doubt the promises of God. He was 99 years old. Nothing had happened in 24 years. I mean, plenty of reasons to doubt and say, "I must have misunderstood. I'm going to take my life in a new direction." But Romans 4:21 says he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he said. So Abraham used the shield of faith. When he had reason to doubt, he chose to believe the promises of God. I'm asking you, and goodness, I know so much about so many of the bad days that you've experienced in your life. And I've cried with you. I've prayed for you in the middle of the night as I lay in bed, unable to sleep. But what I'm saying is, isn't the cross of Jesus Christ enough reason to believe the promises of God when you have every reason to doubt them? Isn't that the shield of faith that you can pick up when you feel like you have no spiritual energy left and every reason to doubt that this pattern in your life to follow Jesus, it just isn't working for me. Isn't in the cross of Jesus and what he has done for you enough to give you the strength to raise up your shield of faith and believe the promises of God when you have every reason to doubt? Listen, that takes a lot of energy. It's going to take a lot of effort to use that tool, but I'm telling you, it will save your soul. Here's the second way you use this tool. You obey God's word when it's the last thing you feel like doing. Because there are going to be times, if we're going to be honest, when obeying God is the last thing we feel like doing. And disobeying God feels like the one thing we do feel like doing. But if we bring up the shield of faith, it will give us the power to obey God when it's the last thing we feel like doing. Now, I go to the gym a few times a week, and I do not like the gym, and so I want to get in and out as quick as I can. I am antisocial at the gym. I need to repent of that because maybe God wants me to influence some people at the gym, and so I'm trying to do better. But still, I pretty much keep to myself. But sometimes people approach me and strike up conversation. I'm not going to tell you about the time the guy approached me, and after it was done, I thought, was he just hitting on me? I don't want to talk about that. Maybe I misread. But last week, as I'm waiting for a machine to open up, guy comes up, are you using this machine? No, I'm waiting on that machine. And so I'm just sitting there, and he says, you know, my wife, she's here with me, and she just bounces back around from machine to machine. Oh, I don't like this one. She goes to that one. Well, then go, I don't like this one. She's just bouncing around. You can tell he was a little frustrated. And I said, oh, man, you got to tell her. You got to tell her that the machines she doesn't feel like doing are probably the machines that she needs to specifically do in order to get in shape. In the ways in which we don't feel like obeying God at any given moment, are probably the ways we need to learn how to obey him the most. Because it's probably the ways that we need to grow the most. Are you following me here? Oh, the shield of faith will help you when you don't feel like it. When you don't feel like going to church. When you don't feel like praying. When you don't feel like helping somebody. You put up the shield of faith. It gives you the strength to obey God when it's the last thing you feel like doing. So use this tool. Confront your life with it. Hold up the promises of God, and you will extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one heading in your direction. I know some of you are grieving. Some of you suffer from low self-esteem. Some of you are angry. I know some of you are resentful. Some of you are lonely. Some of you are anxious. And that's exactly why God has given you the two tools called the gospel of peace and the shield of faith. May we be a church that uses them for his glory, our protection, and the protection of others we say that we love. We can pray with you this morning to experience that, counsel with you, or if you're ready to be baptized in the Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We want to help you before we go home. If you'll just meet me down front and tell us how, as together we stand and sing.
All to Jesus I surrender.